I present to you today my Savior and my Lord. And I want you to know, my beloved friend, this morning, wherever you are and whoever you are, that this same Jesus who has done this for me has forgiven me for my sin. He'll do exactly the same thing for you. God bless you this morning. We are at the foot of the cradle. And when we peer into the cradle, we look into the face of one who went to the cross. Even so, our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? Have you trusted Him as your personal Savior and your Lord? Is He the Lord of your life? What are you going to do this Christmas? Won't you trust Him? Won't you receive Him? Won't you cling to Him today? Come to the Savior. He's the one. Can you imagine that this one who is King would leave everything that He had in heaven, lay it aside, and come down to this earth, become man, become sin for us, even though He Himself knew no sin?
Some call it Boxing Day. Some call it just the day after Christmas. We call it a great day to study the encouraging word with Dr. Don Wilson. The encouraging word. In just a few moments, we'll dive back into this series we're in with Dr. Don about the prophet of Christmas. Yesterday, we talked a great deal and understood from Dr. Don about what we acknowledge in the prophecy, how we worship, and how we give thanks, but in particular, how this prophecy being fulfilled by the birth of Jesus in the manger is going to ultimately take us to the cross and to the grave and into the sky. Oh, we have great study to come just a few minutes away, but while we're here at the launch, we want you to know we're here to pray with you as well. Keyboard to Keyboard, online at tewonline.org, or our phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Friend, you don't have to complete God. God is complete. You don't have to pronounce God because God is. You don't have to understand God, because if you understood God, you wouldn't have the necessity to have faith in God. And faith is the substance of that which is not seen. And I am a saved man by the grace of God through faith. You take faith out of it, the just shall live by what? Now watch out, America. There is a movement sweeping across in the theological ranks of the United States of America that tells me that it is imperative that I drill a hole so deep, that I dig down so far, that I try to understand the sovereign nature of a mighty God who rules this mighty universe and yet lives within my own heart. God tells me, son, get upon your face and prostrate yourself in the presence of Almighty God, because God is, because He is. I love Christmas because we can look into the face of boys and girls. You know what Jesus had to say about that? He said, suffer the little children to come to me. Watch this. Forbid them not, for this is what the kingdom of God is made up of. Does that mean to say that I ought not to study? No. That I ought not to take notes in church when Dr. Don is preaching? No. That I ought not to be engaged in studying the Word at the very deepest level? Absolutely not. But this Christmas, my friend, let's come back to the root of God's Word. And that root is that we must praise Him. Why? Because in praising Him, we acknowledge who God is. In worshiping, we acknowledge because God is. But the third component of worship is to give thanks. I like this. What are we doing when we praise? Acknowledgement, worship, and giving thanks. Giving thanks for what God has done. You know what that does when I give God thanks? Takes me out of the picture. When I stop and I praise Him and I'm acknowledging Him and I'm worshiping Him and I'm giving Him thanks, it removes me, puts me in my rightful perspective. It means every gift that I have, I'm acknowledging comes from Him. Every celebration I have is made possible through Him. Everything that I give to somebody else was made possible because He gave it to me to give. It means that my money, my talents, my time, everything that I have belongs to Him. If I don't praise God, my whole perspective is out of perspective. Then I'm just going to become one of the many that Christmas is just going to simply revolve around me. Wonder if there are any selfish people worshiping today. I wonder if there's any people here today that all you've thought about is what's in it for you. Well, let's try to understand this. I'm going to read to you these most remarkable words. Verse 67. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. I'm going to get to this perhaps next week, I don't know. Remarkable statement considering the fact that Zechariah was a Levite. By the way, so was Elizabeth. Members of the house of Levi, God set the record straight as to the kingly line, the pedigree of the king, through the line and lineage of King David. Verse 70, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us. Beautiful picture here. From the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear. Anyone afraid? Christmas, the Christ of Christmas has a very special word. To enable us to serve him without fear, verse 75, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. So I'm going to ask a question, why? We're going to try and scratch the surface. When we praise him, why do we praise him at Christmas time? Why? What is the reason for this? Well, this is just so filled with the reason why we ought to praise the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our fathers. Number one, we praise him at Christmas. Number one, because he has come. Look right there in verse 68. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come. Now, this is a rather interesting statement here because we've already discovered something at this juncture, my beloved, this morning. We've already discovered that God by His Spirit is talking about God Himself. So we've got a little bit of a problem here that presents itself to us because Zechariah, in his prophetic statement, number one, speaking the Word of God, is talking about the coming of the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ, but he refers to him as God. Now, wait a minute. How do you connect all of these things together? Boys and girls, watch me, all the boys and girls. It's a sort of a tough thing to understand, isn't it? You know, it's like when the Lord Jesus calls one of our family or friends to go to be with him in heaven and they die. Some of us have been there, haven't we? Maybe your grandfather that you loved so much or your grandmother. Someone real close to you, your husband or your wife. You know, you come into that funeral service and your heart is so sad. And you feel very sad, especially at Christmas time and things like this. And you come into the funeral service and there's the casket. And sometimes even before the funeral service, we have the privilege of being able to come and view the body. And we come by there and there's your grandpa or your grandmother or whoever it is that you love. And you hear Dr. Don get up and say something like this, please don't worry because he's not here. And then you look and you see your grandpa lying there and you say, now wait a minute, I'm looking at him. What do you mean he's not here? You see, I'm not preaching about all of this right now, but the Bible says that the real me is inside of me. It's my spirit, it's my soul. And this old thing, we talked about it last week with the shadow of death. But you know, this old body that we've got is just kind of slowly dying until eventually we die at whatever age the Lord Jesus chooses for us. But this body is not the thing that counts. When I die, immediately, I mean, boom, 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 just like that, I just go immediately into the presence of the Lord Jesus. I just kind of shed this body. I just let go this body. like I'm taking off my jacket. Now, here's what happened, okay? And this is very important. The Bible tells us that God made his decision from before the foundation of the world to watch this, to become flesh and to dwell among us. Now, there's a little bit of a problem here. How does God become flesh? Become, that word there, become flesh, is like human flesh with hair and eyes and just like we are, like human beings. Well, what happened was he sent Jesus down to this earth. And when he sent Jesus down to this earth, what he did was he took his human, the flesh of man, watch this, and he put on the human body. He put on the flesh. He became dressed in human form. And in fact, he was born, God was, in a manger, just like a cute little baby that we love so much, because it was necessary for God to be able to reconcile man to himself. And the only way that he could do that was through his only son, who's unique completely. That's why he's the Son of God, the only one who could possibly do this. God said to himself, who is Jesus, I want you to go and to take on the flesh and actually become born and go through all the things that human people go through until the time you die. And when you die, you are going to crucify the flesh. You're taking it off. And you're going to come back into my presence. You're going to be exalted to be seated at the right hand of the Father. So what are we looking at? So what we're looking at is God being clothed in human form and being born in a manger. That's what it means that God came. And the disciples looked at him some 30 years later and said, man, we give up. How do we understand something like this? This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because I and the Father are one. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? That's why we praise him. We praise him because he has come. Now watch this, folks. This is unbelievable stuff here. We looked at this last week. I'm going to be very quick. What happens because he has come? Number one, he came to illuminate darkness. We saw that in verse 79 last week. He's the light shining in darkness. And the darkness comprehended him not. There are many people who say to him, look, you are light, but we don't want it. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he what? The power to become the sons of who? The sons of God. Even those who believe, who have faith, who trust in him because he is God. Woo!
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back in just a moment with more of this message on the prophet of Christmas and understanding that predicament. But we just want to say thank you. You understood our predicament and you have responded. The Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide is something that has been foundational to our ministry. Over the last decade, thousands and thousands of people receive it every day, either email-aphonically, you can sign up online at tewonline.org and get it electronically, but so many others enjoy the hard copy. A dear friend of mine has it over her visor, and every day during, especially during the school year, she is in carpool line and studying God's Word together. Others I know that are on mission fields, and two of my friends that are in service, and it's just a part of, even on their battlefield situations, they're studying God's Word with a daily encouraging word. And of course, the funding of that takes some involvement, and already $15,000 has been raised towards the undergirding of the Encouraging Word Daily Bible Guide. We just want to say thank you. And if perhaps you're interested in getting involved in this or any of the other opportunities to invest in life change through the Encouraging Word, all the details are online at tewonline.org. That's TEW for the Encouraging Word, online.org. And of course, as our pastor would say, we have a brochure, or brochure for those of us that kind of grew up in the South, all available just by calling and asking for the details about our ministry at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 for information, for resources, but most of all, for prayer. We stand ready to connect with you anytime, day or night, at 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
Jingle bells? Jingle bells? I love jingle bells. I'm going to jingle bells like you never heard bells jingle. But God said, before you jingle those bells, and before you go dashing through the snow, praise Him. He's the one who illuminates the darkness. Number two, He eliminates death. And number three, He inundates us with His peace. And that word there, to eliminate death, means that He takes away the shadow of death. What is the shadow of death? Excuse me, Steve. Here it is. I want to give you my shadow. All right. There it is. God eliminates the shadow. That's what He put on. He put on my human shadow. He eliminates that. He eliminates all that portends to human death. And then when He is exalted to be seated at the right hand of the Father, He is clothed in the righteousness of God. And when I give my heart to Jesus Christ, guess what happens? I too am clothed in God's righteousness. I am given His imputed righteousness. I am handed the righteousness of God because I am in Him and He is in me. Give me back my coat. Thank you. Because I'm still alive on this earth. I am hot, but I'm going to wear my coat. Any questions? That's why we praise Him. Number two, we praise Him because He has redeemed. Praise Him, number one, because He has come. Number two, because He has redeemed. Look at verse 68 again. Praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. Number one, because He has come. Number two, because He has redeemed His people. Interesting word. I love that. Peter talks about it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, you are redeemed not by corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, some of you may not know this, but I dare say you do. I'm so grateful. I cannot tell you. Please hear your pastor's heart. I cannot tell you how grateful I am for a giving church and television audience like we have. Folks, you want to see some of the checks that we've received from members of our television audience who just want to partner in the ministry. I mean, some of the most precious letters and Christmas cards I've ever read in my life. Just knock my socks off. One sent me a letter. I have nothing, but I just want to give some $3,000. Somebody I don't even, never met them, to the Lord's work. Do you know that the needs rise to an all-time high during Christmas? I can't tell you the numbers of needs that just I, Don Wilton, that I have the privilege of being able to deal with. Wonderful people that we love with all of our hearts. But I want to say to you, my friends, that the greatest blessing of all is that Jesus Christ is the one who has redeemed us by His blood. He saved us. Yes, we can do and we must do, but we must praise Him because of the redemption that we have. What does it mean? It means that He recognized their predicament. That's what it means. The redemption of Jesus Christ, my friends, directly corresponds to the recognition of a holy and a righteous God concerning the predicament of a sinful man. That's redemption defined. Number two, His redemption means that Jesus Christ responded to the Father's request. That's the ultimate expression of Christian discipleship, is obedience. People say, what is the number one hallmark of Christian faith? It is obedience. Come with me from the cradle to the cross. You cannot talk about the cradle without seeing the cross. And you cannot arrive at the cross without celebrating the cradle. Come with me to the Garden of Gethsemane, where this baby was born and grew and was despised and rejected. Come with me as our Savior, this one Emmanuel, God with us, stood in the Garden of Gethsemane and cried out to the Father, "Oh God, please take this cup from me. Here it is. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He responded to the Father's request. He recognized their predicament. And number three, through his coming and his death, he redeemed his people. He saved us from ourselves. He saved us from our sin. He saved us from our fear. He saved us from the very pit of hell itself, because Jesus Christ was born on Bethlehem's manger. This is the Christ of Christmas. How dare we in America even think about de-Christing Christmas, because this is who Jesus Christ is. I present to you today my Savior and my Lord. And I want you to know, my beloved friend, this morning, wherever you are and whoever you are, that this same Jesus who has done this for me has forgiven me for my sin. He'll do exactly the same thing for you. God bless you this morning. We are at the foot of the cradle. And when we peer into the cradle, we look into the face of one who went to the cross. Even so, our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him today? Have you trusted him as your personal Savior and your Lord? Is he the Lord of your life? What are you going to do this Christmas? Won't you trust him? Won't you receive him? Won't you cling to him today? Come to the Savior. He's the one. Can you imagine that this one who is king would leave everything that he had in heaven, lay it aside, and come down to this earth, become man, become sin for us, even though he himself knew no sin? Is it not too marvelous, my beloved, to contemplate that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself? That's me he's talking about. Turn your heart and life over to him. Surrender to him. Some of you are going to say, "Now, what do you mean we should praise God, Steve? How do we fit all that into Christmas?" Can I make a suggestion? Folks, let me tell you, come Christmas morning, we'll start, 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning. I mean, it's just going to be the best time. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. But you know what God puts in my heart? I need to be reminded of this, folks, because I get caught up in all of this in a New York second, and I fully intend to have the best time. Drive by my house, you'll hear those bells just a-ringing. But here's what God says to me. As you come together, you get everybody, you start having the best fun, stop it. Stop the music. Stop. Stop the music. Stop. Everybody stop. Whoa, hold on. Let's stop. Lord Jesus, this is Christmas Day. What a wonderful day. This is the day that you were born in that manger. You are the King. And today, Lord Jesus, we come, our whole family. We're so looking forward to it. We've got gifts to give to one another. We're going to have such a lot of fun today, Lord Jesus. This is just wonderful. You've already blessed us. Everything you've given to us comes from you. But just, Lord Jesus, we just want to say to you, thank you. We just want to acknowledge you, worship you, and give you thanks. We just praise you on Christmas Day, because you alone are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Start the music. Let the bells ring. Bring out the food. Let's have a celebration together. This is Christmas. God bless you. Have a merry, wonderful Christmas, my brother. Lord bless you and your family. I love you so much. Have a great, wonderful, blessed Christmas. I pray God would just bless you. Just bless you.
It's a great truth. And if you've ever heard a message from Dr. Wilton, you know it always leads to that choice. Are you ready to give your heart to Christ today? Or perhaps you have questions. Before we go back to Dr. Don for another thought, know this. If you have questions, let's discover the answers in the Bible, God's encouraging word, together. If you want to call us, we'd love to pray with you and discover those answers at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And there are many resources on our website as well at tewonline.org. That's T-E-W for The Encouraging Word, online.org. And now, perhaps the most important moments and words from our pastor are coming up next.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you ready to give your heart to Jesus? I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Now, if you've just given your heart to Christ, let us walk alongside you. Dr. Don has some wonderful resources to put in your hands if you'll just call 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or perhaps you're coming home to Christ and rededicating your life. We have great resources for you there as well. Again, 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org or the new shortcut, tewonline.org.
This year again, I was blessed to join with several pastors and Christian leaders from across the country in writing a brand new 52-week devotional called The Heart of Worship. I want to make a copy available to you and for you to have copies that you can get to send to your families and friends at Christmas time. What a wonderful Christmas gift to give to those that you love. In fact, as we begin a new year, begin it with God. So thank you, my friends, for picking up the phone and calling to request the Heart of Worship devotional today. God bless you.
The number again, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org.
The Daily Encouraging Word devotional book has meant so much to me. Please let it continue. I am now requesting that the word be sent to two of my grandchildren. I feel strongly that both of these young people can profit through using the daily devotional. Perhaps your devotions can give them encouragement and help them understand that God cares.